Good morning. We welcome you into a Friday edition as we celebrate Friday. It's the end of the week, heading into another spring weekend here, and we welcome you into My Car Guru with Lenny Lawson. Good morning, sir.
Tim, sometimes I just get curious.
Yeah?
And these things just kind of pop into my head seconds before you start talking.
Okay.
And what made me think about that is I have a particular regret that something that I wish I had learned how to do and appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. I do now,
mm-hmm.
more so than I ever did, and I'm kind of trying to get into it a little bit, but I'm 64 years old, mm-hmm. so it's gonna be hard. But I wish I'd learned how to cook and to appreciate cooking. I was surrounded by great cooks.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was a great cook. Her mom was a great cook.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's mom was a great cook. I mean, I never had to worry about what was going in my mouth.
But you never became a great cook.
I never became, until I started getting interested. I started watching Bobby Flay. And here was a cool guy that I felt like I could relate to. And he's a great cook. And I got addicted to this show called Barbecue Addiction. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah. I was getting ready to ask you, do you consider yourself a good grill cook?
Yeah. I'm a good grill cook.
Yeah.
I mean, not the best. I bought an egg, one of those mm-hmm. green eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've smoked some stuff, but I'm definitely not an expert. I always have to go to the YouTube channel and, mm-hmm. remind myself how to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But, a good cook is a chemist.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
They know how things work together and seasoning and building stuff. And my wife is a phenomenal cook. She started cooking for her family. Her mom, Tara, she was one of five kids, and mom was very busy. Dad was always gone in business and stuff like that. So Tara became, in many respects, the cook,
mm-hmm.
For the house. So she, at an early age, she learned how to cook. And so I was in for a treat. I was not going to miss a beat going from my mom to my wife because both of them were great cooks. It's amazing that I don't weigh 350 pounds. But, that kind of keeps me in check.
My mom made a living as a cook for 24 years, and she was already a great cook, and of course grew up in a house full of great cooks. My grandmother was, all of her sisters, which she had eight of them, were all great cooks, could make that fried chicken like nothing else,
mm-hmm.
knew how to do it, knew how to cut up the chicken just right, and all that stuff. So my mom was such a great cook, too, and I miss that. I really miss that. She doesn't cook anymore, and even though she's still with us at 91, she doesn't cook anymore. And I really miss her cooking.
Yeah. It reminds me of my favorite cooking story. And I think I may have told this before, but there was this family. They were having a Thanksgiving meal, and they were getting everything prepared. And the youngest, the daughter, was talking to her mom and said, "Mom, I need to cook the ham." She said, "Well, great. Go ahead and cut the ends off of it and put it in the pan."
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at mom and said, Why do you cut the ends off of it?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Well, that's just what we've always done."
Mm-hmm.
"Well, there's no reason to do that. Why would you do that?" And she said, "Well, no, you'll have to ask my mother," because the mother was there. She was in the den watching TV with mm-hmm. the rest of them. So she goes and says, "Grandma, Mom and I were getting ready to cook the ham, and she said, cut the ends off of it before I put it in the pan." And she said, "Why do we do that?" I said, "Well, that's just what we've always done. That's what my mother taught me how to do. You mm-hmm. need to cut the ends off of it before you do it." But great-grandma was still alive, so she was in the other room. So she goes over to the great-grandma and says, "Hey, great-grandma, if you don't mind my asking, I was talking to Mom about putting the ham in the pan and mm-hmm. cooking the ham. She said I need to cut the ends off it first. Why do we cut the ends off the ham?" She said, "Well, because I didn't have a pan big enough for the ham."
Yep. The answer always comes back to something simple.
Right? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, why we do things the way we do is sometimes maybe a part of our personality or, mm-hmm. How we respond to pressure, how we respond to opportunity. There's so many different ways of being, right? And it keeps life interesting. One of the best books that I ever read, and my mom introduced me to this, was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. I was struggling in my early 30s with the workload, family, kids, time away from home. The dealership sucked up a lot of my life, at that mm-hmm. particular time. I was mm-hmm. Found myself driving home on the verge of tears after my kids had already gone to bed, because I wanted to play with them, I wanted to be with them. And so one day my mom came in and I was talking to her about it. She said, "Well, I just finished a book that I think you would be interested in. And that particular book was called First Things First.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the seven habits of highly effective people. It was just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I think, Lenny, I think if you read the first three or four chapters, I think you will get some perspective on you know, what's going on, and maybe it'll help. I said, well, thank you, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I read it, and it changed my life.
Mm.
It taught me how to prioritize things.
Mm-hmm.
And I still mess it up, but it really did make a difference. Well, I think about the seven habits. I teach it at the dealership to my salespeople and to my managers. And you know, we talk about things to make us more successful in business and so forth. But in general, this is about not only making yourself more successful in business, but more successful in life. And but it applies to any kind of area that you're thinking about. I mean, we have our home life. We have our work life. We also have different segments within that. You know, we have responsibilities with our parents or with our homes, you know, things that we need to get done at the house, mm-hmm. or our cars. And I was looking at this, since this is a show about cars, right?
Right.
Car guru. Supposed to be, anyway.
Supposed to be, yeah.
We're talking about how to be an effective car owner. And the first habit, as far as the seven habits of highly effective people, is to be proactive. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's described as taking responsibility for your reaction to your experiences. Take the initiative to respond positively and improve the situation. Recognize your circle of influence and the circle of concern. These are all things that are different components that you need to read the book for. But focus your responses on the center of your influence and constantly work to expand it. Don't sit and wait in a reactive mode. You know, this applies to car ownership. It applies to buying a car. You know, what are your responsibilities before you go into the world, go to the Motor Mile down here in Johnson City, and go into a dealership?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much have you thought about this? What type of planning have you done? You know, what type of prep work have you done? Have mm-hmm. you shopped online? Do you know what your car's worth? Do you know what you're going to qualify for from a financing standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know those three things, then you don't need to walk into a car dealership,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because you are going to go in unprepared and you are going to get taken advantage of if you're not careful,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to jump into a situation that you don't need to be in. And I think this is what hurts a lot of people. That's why there's so many bankruptcies. It's one of the reasons there's a lot of bankruptcies, a lot of late payments on cars, because people buy more than they can afford. And so it's important to be proactive. The second habit is begin with the end in mind. Envision what you want in the future so you can work and plan towards that. So it's the prime example is when somebody comes in to buy a truck and they leave in a Mustang. Okay?
Yeah.
What is the ultimate goal? How are you going to use this vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
It applies to when you have car problems, when you have an issue with your car. You know, what are you trying to accomplish? You want to get your car fixed, right? Where is the best place to take it with the problem that you have? You know, I always encourage people to go to the dealer that sells the vehicle. They have the technology. They have the training of the technicians. They have the parts. They have everything. And the excuse is, well, they're more expensive, right?
That's what they say. They're too high.
But how many places do you want to go before you find out that you end up at the dealership anyway?
You end up spending more in a lot of cases.
Now, there are plenty of people that run independent shops that are great,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not disparaging them at all. They've probably got their start working in a car dealership, or they've been in it all their life,
mm-hmm.
and they've learned, you know, how to fix things. There are a lot of people that work in car dealerships, technician-wise, that are parts changers, okay? They don't fix anything. They just exchange parts. They identify what they think is the problem. They put that part in. If that doesn't fix it, they put another part in. You know, that's what frustrates people about mm-hmm. that. But beginning with the end in mind, whether you're buying a car or getting it serviced, you need to keep that first and foremost. First things first. That's the third habit. And really, that's the difference. That's understanding the difference between urgency and importance. Now, you think about those two words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that's important would be like taking your wife out on a date
mm-hmm.
every now and then. I've always said that one of the best things to make a marriage last is to never stop dating.
True enough.
Okay. And but is taking your wife out on a date this week, is that urgent?
Usually not, unless you're just in a dire circumstance.
In the like you're in the middle of a big argument, right? But see what happens over time. is that the relationship deteriorates and it becomes urgent, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, buying a car, you know, it's an important process. It needs to be taken seriously. Buying today, is that essential?
Mm-hmm.
Buying this weekend, is that essential?
Unless what you happens? Don't have nothing to drive.
Yeah, I mean, if you then it goes from being important to being urgent.
Right.
But what's where you never want to get to is let urgency become an addiction for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Covey talks a lot about that, and where it's called the urgency. Everything's in a hurry, and you end up ignoring all the things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, I think, true for car owners as well. And then you get to the fourth habit, and it's called think win-win. You know, car dealers are, it's not a nonprofit, okay?
Need to make a profit.
Used car dealers, new car dealers, service departments, they are not nonprofits. They are family businesses or corporate businesses. They're engaged in the activity of generating revenue and hopefully ending up with a profit when all the bills are paid.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't think about that when they're going to buy a car. You know, they're thinking, I'm going to get the best deal I can. You know, boy, I stole that car. You know, I don't care if they make any money. They can make it on somebody else. They don't, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to make it on me. You know, I would rather go into a dealership and say, listen, okay, I'm a car buyer. I realize you got to make money. And but I want to get as good a deal as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And based on my research, you know, because I was proactive and I did the research. Based on my research, I know what the invoice price on this car. I don't mind you making, you know, 1% or something like that. I think is that enough? Can you live with that? You know, let's just get away from all the back and forth negotiation. Let's just let them make a little profit and you get a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Instead of just beating everybody down. I think win-win is a good thing. It's a good thing in relationships as well, you know, with kids or parents or families or friendships or mm-hmm. whatever. You know, I remember when my next door neighbor, we moved into a new neighborhood, and his first act as a neighbor was to come down and make sure I knew where the property line was. He had a fence up,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't say, welcome to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such and such. What's your name? He said, yeah, I just wanted to make sure you guys knew that the fence line is really not the property line. My property line is actually further down the hill.
Mm.
I said, really? Well, that's good. What's your name? Well, my name's, you know, I won't say. I'm Lenny Lawson. Show me where the property line is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to mow up to here? Or are you going to mow this down here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to mow, you know, that's fine. I don't have a problem. I just wanted to know where the property line was and that mm-hmm. the fence wasn't the property line. I said, well, I'm not going to invade your property, so don't worry about it. You know, it became... You know, I was thinking win-win, and he was just thinking win.
Mm-hmm.
By golly, these new people.
That's right.
These Lawsons.
We're going to establish the parameter.
Right. So anyway, so win-win is good. And then number five, I have, this is probably to me, other than first things first, is the most important habit. And that is to seek first to understand and then to be understood. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. So if we're in that kind of process, you and I are having a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
What is my priority if I'm seeking first to understand? It's to hear you out.
Right.
Right?
You're listening, yeah.
Let me have your perspective first.
Mm-hmm.
Because too often somebody comes into an office in a dealership or they've had service problems and all of a sudden all this defensiveness comes up, you
mm-hmm.
know, on the part of the service advisor or whoever. We didn't do that to your car. And, you know, where's the customer coming from? You know, you get a customer that's really upset and obviously not in a good mood, and you're out there trying to sell them a car. And immediately, first thing you do is you start selling. You know, you start presenting product and stuff like that, and you're just not getting anywhere. It's because you didn't sit down first and talk to them. Find out where they've been, what they've been doing. You know, mm-hmm. what are they looking for? What is the end that they want to get to? You know, again, another one of the habits, begin with the end in mind. What is the end you're trying to get to?
Yeah.
What does a great result look like in your mind? Because that's what's important. It's not what I want. It's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Put that first. But the thing is, if you get what you want, then I'm probably going to get what I want as well. But it's going to be somewhere in the middle, right?
Right.
So we need to take our last break? Or
it's kind of like a win-win. Actually, we're going to take our first break.
And then
we'll come back and do the other 2 points.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We'll I get on a roll and I can't stop.
Well, that's good. We'll get the other 2 points right after this break. All right, we're back here on a Friday after we
Our first break
figured out what break we need to be in. But you went over five of those points, and now the other two.
Well, I'm still on number five a little bit. Seek first to understand, and then to be understood. You know, this is they refer to. Now we're talking about the seven habits of highly effective people. If you don't own the book, get it or listen to it. You know, buy books on tape. But I'm telling you, it's a life changer, and it should be required reading, and it should be required curriculum in the 11th grade in all high schools.
How about that? Wow.
Because it teaches you how to survive with your fellow man in a positive and uplifting and successful way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not talking about being a pushover. We're talking about, you know, having a full life, you know, and being able to negotiate and talk and interact with people. It's just such a powerful thing. Under seek first to understand and then to be understood, he talks about empathetic listening to genuinely understand a person, which compels them to reciprocate and to have an open mind. You know, so lots of times people come in with their fists up, as I said. You can tell it. You know, they have a chip on their shoulder. They have their fist up. It's metaphorically. You know, they are mad. And you need to understand why they're mad first before you start trying to approach the problem. And sometimes it involves getting them away. So if you're really upset at a dealership because they're not taking care of your car, the worst thing you can do is go in there and start raising Cain in front of everybody else. Stay calm, go down and talk to somebody and say, let me tell you why this is such a big problem for me. Why can't you all fix my car? You know, I've had my car in here five times for the same problem. And it's really negatively impacting my life. And I can't do without a car. It's important to me. And it's just, it's really causing me a lot of frustration. Tell me why you guys are having a hard time fixing this problem. You know, it's a far better way to approach it than you know, start throwing things in the service drive. You know, that doesn't work. Okay, the sixth habit is synergy. And that's just about combining the strengths of people through positive teamwork. You know, if you are in the market for a car or you're having car problems or something, sometimes it doesn't hurt to get other people's opinion. You know, to actually, I've seen people come in what we call a quarterback. So a quarterback is a friend of yours that comes in with you and knows a lot about buying and selling cars, and they come to help coach you.
Right.
And it's not a bad thing to do.
Right.
And then the last habit is called sharpening the saw. And this is about growth. You know, one of the things I learned early on when I started cutting wood to heat my house was that if my chain was dull, the day went a lot longer, okay? And if I have a sharp chain, it cuts through the wood so much better. We are all a saw, okay? We all have to stay sharp. We all have to take care of ourselves, and this is health. This is mentally. This is emotional health. This is social health. You know, all of these things are important. And if we take time to take care of ourselves and sharpen our own saws, then we will be a better person when we interact and deal with other people.
Okay, very good. All right, we'll take our last break. We'll come back and wrap things up on this Friday. Back here Friday morning as we wrap up the last couple of minutes of My Car Guru here.
You ever heard of the word paradigm? Okay, it's not 20 cents. Well, it is, I guess.
A paradigm.
Paradigms is 20 cents.
You hear about a paradigm shift a lot.
Yeah, paradigm shift. And a paradigm shift is when you're thinking one thing, but the reality is something else. It's just like, and the best example that I've heard was in the book, was about a guy that was in a subway in New York, and he was over in a corner, and his kids, obviously they were his children, were just going nuts all over, running up and down the car and everything, and he's just sitting over there just with his head down. And obviously oblivious to what's going on. And this lady across from him looks at him and says, sir, do you realize that your kids are making everybody in here miserable, you know, in this car? Can't you get control of your children? And he looks at her and he says, ma'am, I'm sorry. They just lost their mother and I lost my wife. That's a paradigm shift.
It is, yeah.
Okay. So that's where you were thinking one thing, and something else is the case. And, and we are all guilty of that. You know, we're guilty of that with our interactions with other people. Sometimes when they come in and they're really angry, or, you know, they've bought a car and they feel like they paid too much, or they had service and they didn't feel like they were taken care of. And and so, you know, sometimes you just have to understand what's going on in their life. Sometimes you have a service advisor who's just not real friendly that day. he's had a bad day. You know, maybe he's going through a divorce. Maybe there's something else going on in his life. And you can't sit and analyze all that kind of stuff all the time. It's hard.
Yeah.
But just cut people some slack every now and then, you know, because you really don't know what they're going through. If they're being mean and hateful, it's okay to let them know that. But just do it in a an understanding way. And I think, you know, your tone sometimes determines the other person's tone. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. No question. All right, that'll do it, My Car Guru. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.